may be seated. Thank you, band. Charles Stanley. Have a word I believe God wants you to hear today. Charles Stanley, the well-known television preacher and longtime pastor of First Baptist Church in Atlanta, experienced a healing that removed the barrier to intimacy with God. During a time of healing prayer, when several close friends ministered to him, Stanley was set free from deep feelings of rejection rooted in the loss of his father when he was only 7 months old. Here's how he describes what happened. One of these fellows said in prayer, "Charles, put your head on the table and close your eyes." So I did. Then he said to me very kindly, "Charles, your father just picked you up in his arms and held you. What do you feel?" I burst out crying, and I cried and I cried, and I could not stop crying. Finally, when I stopped, he asked me again, and I said that I felt warm and loved and secure and good, and I started weeping again. For the first time in my life, I felt God emotionally loving me. All of these years, I had preached about trusting God and believing in him and obeying him, and I had, but I came back and I looked through my sermon file, and in all those years, I had only preached one sermon on the love of God, and it was not worth listening to. The reason was because I didn't know what it meant to feel the love of God, because my daddy had walked out on me in death at 7 months of age. This was also true of my dad. My dad knew God deeply, but never fully believed he was loved, because his dad passed away when my dad was 9 years old. My dad struggled with anger his whole life because of it. He was a wonderful preacher. He was a loving dad. But he was never fully convinced that he was loved, either by people or by God. Maybe you see yourself in that story too. Maybe you never felt loved by a parent. Maybe you felt rejection. Maybe you felt abandoned. Maybe you felt unloved. Here's what can happen. Our perception of God's love is often intertwined with the reception of love that we experience from our parents. We were created by love, for love, to love, to know love. And my prayer for each of you this morning is that you would know how high and how long and how wide and how deep is the Father's love for you, perfectly revealed in Christ Jesus. Perhaps you've noticed by now that we have talked about faith and hope, and today we're talking about love. The greatest of these is love. See, God knew what I would be speaking on today before any of us in this room. God knew. And here's what can happen when we aren't fully convinced that we are loved or that we are lovable. We often do one of two things. Number one is we begin to strive to be worthy of God's love. Or we give up hope altogether that we can be loved. When we strive to be worthy, our worth becomes performance driven. Performance makes us feel worthy, but it doesn't transform us. Transformation happens when we realize that we are fully loved by God, thank you, that we are fully loved by God, completely apart from any performance or behavior. But here, we don't believe that, and so we create markers to prove to ourselves that we are acceptable. and accepted. But God in Christ Jesus has already said, come to me all who are weary. You are accepted before you believe it. You are loved before you feel it. While you were at your worst, God demonstrated his love for you in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. And that truth will set you free when you really believe it. When we really believe it, it sets us free from bad thought patterns, bad emotional habits, bad behavioral choices, the chains in our mind, our hearts, and our hands. It sets us free to really live. So when we don't believe we are really loved, we can strive to earn it. Or we give up hope that we can be loved. And when we do that, our lives feel meaningless. We begin to doubt God. We become bitter. We feel used, and we use others. We try to fill the emptiness with pleasure or with pain. But Jesus has already said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink, and rivers of living water will flow from within him. Come to Jesus. Your thirst for love and belonging is quenched in Jesus. Where there was dryness and barrenness, there is now a deep and wide river of living water. Water, a love that no dam of rejection or abandonment or inadequacy can hold back. The love of God bursts through, bringing with it every blessing of life and joy and peace. The love of God shatters your feelings of abandonment, loneliness, and bitterness. But you don't believe me. You want to believe me, but you're not sure you can believe me. I'm going to show you something this morning. Jesus makes the Father known. John 1:1 says this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:18 says this, no one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. John 14:8 says, Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. And Jesus said, anyone who has seen the Father, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. This is important. Jesus shows us the Father. Jesus came to make the Father known to us. So what do we learn about the Father from the Son? Well, one thing we learn is that the Father loves before we had a chance to do anything to earn it. Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, it says, a voice from heaven said, this is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Ask your question this morning. When did the Father say this about his Son? Did he say it after a miracle? Did he say it after a sermon? Did he say it after a confrontation with a religious leader? Did he say it after the wilderness testing or his arrest and his torture? Did he say it after the death on the cross or the resurrection or the ascension? No. He said it not after any accomplishment. He said, this is my beloved Son, at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, at his baptism. The love the Father had for the Son wasn't based on what the Son was going to do or what the Son had done. All and everything that the Son would do was based on the fact that the Son was already loved by the Father. Everything Jesus did was from a place of acceptance, not from a place of performance. It was from a place of belonging, not a place of earning. It was a place of from a place of belovedness, not a place of striving. So if Jesus reveals the Father to us, what do we learn about the Father from Jesus? We learn that we are loved by the Father apart from our performance or our earning it or our striving. We learn that belonging comes before even believing that we belong. John, 1 John 1:8 says this: the one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. God is love. Let me ask you a question this morning. Who is God? And I know it sounds like a trick question because I just said God is love. I got you. God is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. One God who exists eternally in three persons: the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. This is the one true God that is revealed in the Scripture. From the opening verses in Genesis, we see the Father willing creation, the Son, who is called the Word, creating, and the Spirit ordering what is created. Father, Son, Spirit, all there. Individual persons, one God. So the question then, what I want you to understand is this: if there is one God, and God is love, and there are three persons in the Godhead, that means that these three persons are in a love relationship. Hear me. This is important. God didn't create you simply because he wanted you to worship him. He had angels for that. God didn't create you simply because he wanted you to serve him. He had angels for that. Why did he create you? Why did he create humanity? God created us as image bearers, different and distinct from the angels, to be in relationship with God and all that comes with that divine relationship. Because God is a relational God, three in one. We were created in God's image to be in relationship with God. And what did God do in the garden? Scripture says that God would walk with humanity in the cool of the evening in the garden. God made God's self known in the garden in a personal, relational, loving way. The image of God would come down, invite his creation to commune with him. Image bearers together. And even when humanity broke that relationship, God made a promise that the relationship would be restored. Why? Because God is love. You were created in love, for love, because of love, and by love. I cannot get over this great love because I really believe that if we could accept and believe that we are deeply known and deeply loved apart from anything we have done or could do, it would transform everything about us. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, how great the measure of God's love. While we were demonstrating rebellion, God was demonstrating love. While we were demonstrating doubt, God was demonstrating love. While we were demonstrating sinfulness, God was demonstrating love. While we were demonstrating disobedience, God was demonstrating love. While we were wandering in the wilderness of our rebellion, God was making a way for us to walk with him back in the garden. While we were wandering in the wilderness of our self-doubt, God was making a way way for us to walk with him back in the garden. While we were wandering in the wilderness of performance-based acceptance, God was making a way for us to walk with him back in the garden. While we were wandering in the wilderness of sin, the flesh, and the devil, God was working a way for us to walk back with him in the garden. The cross and the resurrection is the demonstration of that great love, and only that is the way back to the garden. Oh, church, God really loves you. The Son reveals the love of God, and the Holy Spirit makes that love real in our lives. Romans 5:5 says, "And hope does not put to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." That river of living water is pouring out of love through the Holy Spirit. It's by this outflow of love by the Holy Spirit into our lives that we grow in spiritual knowledge and insight. Philippians 1:9 says this. This is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. Are you ready for this? You are only as spiritually deep as you are loving. You are only as spiritually deep as you are loving. We want these divine spiritual encounters, and I love them, but they don't make you spiritually deep. 1 Corinthians 13:1, you don't believe me, let me tell you, here's what Paul says. If I speak human or angelic tongues, but do not have love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Why? Because we weren't created to simply be spiritual. We were created to love by the God who eternally loves. Now, don't misunderstand me. God wants us to grow in our spiritual knowledge. But your spiritual knowledge and maturity grows as you grow in love of God and neighbor. The more you experience the love of God, the more you love others, and the deeper your spiritual wisdom and knowledge become. What's the greatest command? Love God with all your being. What's the second? Love your neighbor as yourself. Luke 10:27, he answered, this is the greatest, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Some in this room, I want you to hear this. It says, love your neighbor as yourself. Do you love your neighbor as yourself? Well, a lot of that depends on how you love yourself. Because if you don't love yourself, you don't really care if you love your neighbor. Some in this room may not love yourself because you never felt loved. Some in this room may not love others because you've never felt loved. Some in this room may not love God because you've never felt loved. So you are striving for love, trying to earn love, performing for love, running in circles, feeling overwhelmed and unworthy. But please hear me this morning. The Father loves you, the Son proved this love, and the Spirit fills you with this love. The unseen love of God is seen in Christ Jesus. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 says, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created." created things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all the fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation, if you continue in the faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard, that has been proclaimed to you, to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, have become a servant. This tells us, Paul tells us in his letter to the church at Colossae, the Son is loved by the Father. Because of this love, we are reconciled to God, redeemed and forgiven. The love shows us what the unseen God looks like. It's exactly who God told us he is through Moses in Exodus 34, verse 6. He said, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in love and faithfulness. This is the God we serve, the God revealed in the Old Testament, and the God that through Jesus all things were created. Jesus made it possible by his death for us to come back into the love relationship with God. But Paul says that we were alienated from God in our minds because of our evil behavior. What does that mean? It means that our rebellion, our sin, our evil behavior alienated us from God in our minds. Paul said, in our minds, we began to believe that we were unloved by God because our behavior separated us from God's holiness. We thought that because we were unholy, we were unloved. What Jesus did was prove that we are still loved by God, and because we are still loved by God, we can still be made holy by God. Even in our unholiness, we were not unloved. And what Jesus did was come to convince us of God's love for us by his sacrificial death, and to make us holy through his blood. Amen. The love of God and the holiness of God are not at odds. The love of God is how we are made holy. Amen. And Paul challenges us to believe it. He challenges us to change our minds about God's love towards us, because when we really believe we are loved by God, we will live from that knowledge and from that place of loving relationship. Remember, faith pleases God. We talked about that. Do you have faith in God's love? Do you believe God loves you? Jesus proves it. Well, then continue in that faith. Remember that hope does not disappoint. This is the gospel. You are loved by God. Jesus' death demonstrated that love. Jesus' death defeated death. Jesus' death dealt with sin. Jesus' death invites us back into the garden of God's holy love. The Spirit brings us in. It's by the Spirit that we cry out, Abba, Father. The problem isn't sin. The problem isn't the devil. The problem isn't God. The problem is our mind. See, because Jesus dealt with sin, Jesus defeated the devil, God is good, but the problem is our mind. Until we fully believe that we are fully loved by God in the holy love, we will wrestle with loving God, loving others, and even loving ourselves. But hear me this morning. John 3:16-17, for God loved the world in this way. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. There's a problem when we want to condemn more than God does. When we want to perform when God already loves, you are loved by God. The old song says the love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his Son to win. The erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. When hoary time shall pass away and earthly kingdoms, thrones, and kingdoms fall, when men who hear refuse to pray on rocks and hills and mountains call, God's love so sure shall still endure, all measureless and strong, redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints and angels' song. The love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. Oh, church, be convinced of God's great love for you today. Oh, church, be convinced of God's great love. and his invitation back to relationship with you. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for your word today. While we were yet sinners, God, you demonstrated your love for us in this way. Christ died on the cross. If you have not experienced this love, do not leave today. Do not leave today believing the lie that you are unloved. You say, well, Pastor, you don't know what I've done. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what's been done to me. God demonstrated his love for you that Christ died. This is the hope of the gospel. You are loved. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you're feeling, no matter what has been done to you or you have done to others, you are loved today. And when you believe that, your mind is set free. To truly experience all of God's nearness to you. This morning, as we receive the elements of communion, if you need prayer, I want you to stay here because I want to pray for you. This today is a reminder and a very real, tangible, physical evidence that you are loved deeply. By God. The tables are open. You're free to come. Do anything else. Before we do anything else, that's what I want us to do right now in this moment. I want you to look at what you hold in your hand. Look at what you're holding in your hand. I want you to say to yourself out loud, this is the proof God loves me. Go ahead and say it out loud. This is the proof I am loved. Say it. This is the proof I am loved. Go ahead. This is the proof I am loved. at my worst, God showed me He loved me. Not only does this show God's love for you, this is the invitation back into relationship with Him. Not only do you hold proof, you hold the invitation into covenant relationship with God by Christ Jesus. God, you've invited me into relationship. God, you've invited me. You've made the way. Your love makes me holy. Take a minute and just talk to God for a minute. Let your mind be renewed right now. Let your mind be renewed right now. God, you love me. God, you love me. I am loved. By your death, I am made holy. On the night that you were betrayed, you took the bread and you broke it. And you said, "This is my body that's broken for you. Take it, eat." You took the blood. Took the cup and you said, "This is the blood of the new covenant, poured out for the remission of your sin. Drink all of it." I am love. You are love. If you need prayer, thank you. loved. You are loved. Live from that place. Live from that place. You don't have to earn it. Just accept it. And He makes you whole. Thank you for your prayers. Heather just mentioned to me that the doctor came in this morning to see Phil and said that he is responding so well to the medicine and the treatments that they've placed him on that they are not going to do a trach tomorrow. Amen. And so that he has much more time without a trach, is what the doctor told him. So praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I do want to also remind you that there is a baby shower right after we dismiss here in the fellowship hall. So go please love on Courtney and this baby. And let her know that not only is she loved by God, she's also loved by the church. It's important. That's important. So let's stop by there. I'm just going to ask if I don't even know who scheduled the usher today. I got out of order because I believe the Spirit wanted to speak in that moment. And so I went out of order because I believe the Spirit wanted me to go out of order. But if a couple guys maybe we're supposed to be ushers, or if you could just grab a bucket and stand back there as people leave. Yeah, grab the plate. And as people leave, just go ahead and take that. You guys can just go ahead and stand back there. Thank y'all. And on your way out this morning, you just drop your offering in. Giving is an act of worship, obedience, and faith. And so as you give, you can give in the buckets. You can give online at reallifenc.com/give. And keep that in your mind. Will, would you come, or Ellison, whoever's dismissing us. And we will be dismissed this morning.
God loves you. Amen. Yeah, don't forget, if it's your first time here, we're so glad you're here. We would love to see you again. If you could fill out a Connect card on the chair in front of you and visit Kristen at the Connect booth back there, we have a gift for you. We are so glad that you're here. Jesus loves you. Don't forget the baby shower after church. That's going to be fun, and there's lunch, and we love babies, so yay. Winterfest is this week. We're leaving Thursday, so be in prayer for us on our way there, on our way back, and that God moves in the hearts of these teenagers, and pray for me and Will and Carla. We're going to need it. The women's Bible study starts this Saturday, the 7th. Get with Pastor Heather for more information on that. And women's meeting is next Tuesday, the 10th. So your kingdom come. Just kidding.
Sorry, one thing that I meant to do in this service, did it in the first service, but preaching, when I did not do this. I want to take a moment. I want us to pray for the conflict that we are in militarily, and for Christians in the Middle East who are rightly fearful in this moment, and that God would be with the church around the world to keep His people, and to pray for missionaries, to pray for pastors, to pray for the Christians, the church in Iran, Maybe you know this, maybe you don't, but the church in Iran has grown exponentially. Even though the church has to meet in secret, reports are that the church in Iran is one of the fastest growing churches in the world. And I want us to remember the church in Iran who is undergoing, who because of this military situation, they're fearful, sure, but there's also opportunity for them to be able to worship God freely. But I'm thankful that they're committed to worshiping God, whether it's underground and in small groups that are hidden. That's where God moves. And so I want us to pray for the church around the world. I want us to pray for world leaders. Pray for our governmental leaders. Pray for Israel's governmental leaders. Pray for leaders in the Middle East. And pray for those who are in harm's way and families of innocent people who may lose their life. Who get caught in the conflict of war, and those in military who we have already heard of, American military, of folks who were killed in battle already. Pray for their families, and pray for every family that loses a loved one. Together. Heavenly Father, I just ask, Lord, that, Lord Jesus, that you would, first of all, bring peace. Lord, you're the peacemaker. You're the Prince of Peace. And God, we long for peace. We long for peace. I pray right now for those who are caught in this conflict. I pray, God, that you would bring hope to them, bring salvation to them, bring the gospel to them. I pray for the church in Iran. I pray, God, that you would give them your spirit and that you would lead and guide and be a sword and shield for them. I pray that they would find their peace and hope in a rock, that they would find shelter in the cleft of the rock that is Jesus. I pray, Lord, that the church, you would keep your people. I pray, God, for those who are innocent life, who is lost. I pray for their families. I pray, God, that you would comfort them in Jesus. I pray, God, that this would be an opportunity for freedom in that nation, Lord, that worth and dignity would be found again, and hope and peace would be found, and freedom would be found. Jesus, that you would be found. I pray, God, that you would speak and move in our governmental leaders, that you would give them wisdom. You would give them wisdom. How to move forward with this conflict, that you would give them wisdom, that they would seek you, that they would seek wisdom. I pray for our leaders in our Israel, that you would give them wisdom, that you would be with them and let them seek you, God, in Christ Jesus. I pray, Lord, that this conflict would be resolved quickly, and that Jesus, you would bring peace on earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Ellis, you can come and finish back up. Thank you for that.
I do have one other announcement. For youth parents, the time that we're leaving on Thursday was announced wrong this morning. We're leaving at 3 o'clock, so be here no later than 2:45. I believe that we're told 2 this morning. I probably won't be here at 2, so don't be here at 2. Okay, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.